Tell us a little bit about Brand Keys, first of all. What is Brand Keys? How long have you been around, and what do you do?
Okay. Brand Keys is a research consultancy. We've been around for almost 35 years.
You and I probably started about the same time. You probably started around 1981 or something like that, based on that information,
right?
About the same time I started doing this newsletter. So, you know, I guess
right.
We're brothers under the skin.
I guess so. And we specialize in brand loyalty and consumer engagement, emotional engagement, understanding what it is, what values bond people to certain brands.
Good. And you put out within the last day or two a release showing that there were 50 brands that made your top list in terms of being engaged as patriotic. If I recall correctly, one was Samuel Adams and the other was
Jack Daniels.
To my surprise, Budweiser was not on the list. Can you tell us in the process of your research what seemed to work in favor of Jack Daniels and Samuel Adams, and how come Budweiser, which used to be considered the quintessential American beer brand, didn't make the top 20%.
Okay. A lot of questions. I think that people make emotional associations. I mean, you're dealing today with what is essentially the most connected and brand literate, and I would also add cynical, consumer population, in modern marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You've just got people who, we like to say they talk to each other before they talk to the brands. And I think that the issue regarding values like patriotism has to move beyond, I guess years ago we would call it advertising,
mm-hmm.
but I think now it's become patriotic posturing. I mean, nationally directed CSR and sponsorships, that's all great. But we have a saying, that saying it, doing it, and doing it in a way that consumers believe are three entirely different things. And I'm not sure to be, unless I delve into a very old and very personal history, that I could tell you why anyone today would rate Budweiser as being especially patriotic. I mean, they ended up, they were part of the list that we looked at.
Right.
But for the particular value regarding patriotism, because that's what we're looking at in our numbers and how we arrive at the rankings. They ended up at the bottom of the rankings. They only ended up with a 60% patriotism value assessment from consumers, and that ranked them 47 out of 51 possible positions they might have ended up in.
Right. And that's what I found so surprising because, Budweiser gives millions of dollars a year to support military veterans, and, they have the Clydesdales, and, when they were an independent company, Anheuser-Busch, their corporate logo, which they still use, by the way, was the A and Eagle. And, they
mm-hmm.
just, and it just seems to me they've obviously fallen short on something. And my first inclination was, well, this is what they get for being, for allowing themselves to be bought out by a Belgian brewery, which is, of course, what happened. But no, that doesn't work because Fiat Chrysler is headquartered in the Netherlands. So it's not a matter of, you know, if you have an overseas parent, you're not going to make the list. It's
right.
Something
and
else.
We were very careful about that. I mean, you know, it's funny. I drove past an automobile dealership the other day, and they had all the flags out and everything set for 4th of July.
Right.
And it was a Toyota dealership.
Huh.
I mean, you know, people want to wrap themselves in the flag, but I think Budweiser has they over the past decade. I think that's probably a fair period of time to say. They've kind of given up branding and moved into the entertainment venue. I mean, their advertising is essentially aimed at entertaining consumers, not necessarily engaging consumers.
Yes,
you're
exactly right about that. They have sort of given up on the branding thing, and they've gone really big into entertainment with the at the Bud Light Hotel, but we know that Bud Light and Budweiser, the value sort of shifts back and forth between the two, and other things like that. So, yeah, you're exactly right about that. They have sort of given up on branding.
I mean, I think, you know, the puppies are cute, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that we aren't, unfortunately, you know, one of the last generations around who actually remember what the Clydesdales are and not that they weren't just big foreign horses.
Right.
I mean, you know, you've got to be more either you have to have an historical heritage that is unquestioned, which is you know, someone asked me about who was number one, and it turned out two people in the number one position this year, but Jeep was number one, and they've been number one for as long as I can remember. I mean, they just have the, you know, every world war, Jeep was there.
Yeah.
You know, someone was asking about Disney. And again, there's a difference between, you know, say, here's a sheet of paper with adjectives, you know, just check them off or rank them on a smiley scale or something like that. I mean, you know, you think about Disney. Disney is parades. Disney is small town. Disney is the Hall of Presidents. You know, Disney is a lot of things that contribute to an emotional bond where the engagement ultimately for the one, you know, the one particular, you know, one particular value of patriotism is very high.
Sure.
I mean, Sam Adams as well, I think, you know, A, you've got an historical figure with the name coming out of Boston, you know, the cradle of liberty. And, you know, and if I really wanted to point out the details of the story that they've told over time, you know, Sam Adams himself, besides being a patriot, was actually an owner of a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're not rationally testing people, you know, you're not turning around and going, you know, okay, tell me why they are patriotic. People feel that they're patriotic. And I know you're concerned with, you know, with the beers and the, you know, the alcoholic beverages and such. But, I mean, you know, I think Starbucks moved up onto the list, the top 50, because they were willing to engage the American public in a debate of sorts. And these days, that is looked at as a better thing to do than to, you know, have cute commercials about puppies.
Sure. Now, I looked at when I saw Jack Daniels on there, I said, well, but of course, because they have, you know, they've continuously run these great pictures showing people down in that Tennessee town sitting there whittling on their wood or whatever as part of the way that they sort of identify themselves. Am I right about that, or am I smoking dope?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that it is the It's the that black and white gritty feel of what American workers are like, what mm-hmm. they do to produce a product.
Right.
And I think that if you go down the list, whether you know it's alcohol or not, you can really find a rational foundation for why people are reacting the way that they're reacting.
Mm-hmm. Do you
and I think that's critical.
Yes, I can see that. Do you think that Anheuser-Busch shot themselves in the foot after the takeover by InBev, when InBev sold off SeaWorld and that theme park experience that they had in various locations around the country, or do you think that's just an incidental factor?
Well, I think that it contributes. You know, the brand becomes everything that everyone hears and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they switch the name to America, I think that I think that because you're dealing with a smarter and more cynical public,
mm-hmm.
that this is not something that works very well. And divesting yourself of certain attractions and certain companies may have worked really well to the bottom line in terms of the financials, but the brand needs to be taken care of as well.
Right.
And I think that there are a lot of brands out there that are not doing the job that they need to do.
No, I would agree with you. I don't spend my life studying brands across a broad spectrum, obviously, but you know, when I think about almost anything, you can think of brands or of media that have sort of got it and the media that don't have it. Dow Jones has done a great job with the Wall Street Journal over the years. The New York Times, I think, actually shot themselves in the foot when they sold off WQXR back when they were facing real financial difficulties. But, you know, they had that great advantage. If you were in the New York metro area, which I know you are, you know, every hour, you know, on the station break, what did you hear? This is WQXR, the radio station of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Remember that? And that just,
I do indeed.
You know, it just sort of seemed to me to convey something other than just we're here, a newspaper to wrap your fish in after you get done reading it, tonight. So I gather you sort of think that Budweiser fundamentally lost its way by going into the so heavily into the entertainment experience thing, which I think is really limiting in terms of who you reach also, because you can't have that many people at any one entertainment venue. And I don't know what your research shows, but I guess I'm old, but I just don't see social media as giving you that broad reach. Yes, it gets connections and all that, but I'm just not sure it does the same job as some other media like those Jack Daniels grainy black and white photos.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Social media certainly has its place. I think that to a certain degree, this is just from studying the brand. Budweiser is not a client of ours. That they have, thought if they could only bring in a new audience. If they could only get the millennials to buy Budweiser instead of the craft beers that they're looking at. I mean, again, these are the kind of category and value shifts that we see happening in lots of categories. But if you don't do anything about it, as quickly as you can, and if you don't address it, you end up just being a placeholder. You know, it isn't that people don't know the Budweiser name.
Right.
They certainly do. But I think more likely than not, if you ask people to describe Budweiser, what they're going to tell you is it's a beer.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to force everything else out of them. And again, I want to be clear. even with the Jeeps and the Disneys and Levi Strausses of the world, Jack Daniels and the Sam Adams, you know, the first reaction from people is not necessarily patriotism, but patriotism isn't a word that gets used to describe brands. It becomes part of their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes part of that thing that consumers feel about a brand. And when you can't get them feeling about it, there's not a whole lot that you can do to make that up in a short period of time.
And I can see that. I can also see how that happened with Budweiser, because in the last roughly since they were taken over by InBev, some of the stories that used to be associated with them, like the connecting of the Clydesdales to the repeal of Prohibition to, you know, August Bush the second, I guess it was, making his radio speech about, you know, now working people can drink again and so on and so forth, have sort of disappeared from their lexicon.
Right, and I think also, unfortunately, and the consumer memory. I mean,
yes.
You know, you and I have to dig, you know, we've got to dig these things up, and there are people that will remember it. But to be quite honest with you, if I talk to my sons, they're not going to have any concept of what I'm talking about, because there's no foundation there for Budweiser being anything other than a kind of mass brewed, mass distributed beer for them.
Right. And, you know, I can see that in terms of what you were talking about with the connections, because in my spare time, I teach a course at Prince George's Community College on interpersonal communication. And one of the things we talk about in that class is that when people hear something 2 hours later, they've forgotten 50% of it, and 8 hours later, they've forgotten 70% of it. So, you know, I can see how that point you just made really sort of ties together.
You know, the other side of it, when we look at the set of brands that we have this year, you know, we're talking to a lot of consumers. I think it's almost 5,000 consumers this year, and it's all balanced in terms of the 9 U.S. census regions. So we're getting a nice cut of Americans from 16 to 65 on this. And, you know, John Deere, you know, still shows up high, you know, it's in the top 50. And I have to say, you know, living in New York City, I don't have a whole lot of need for the kind of equipment that John Deere comes out with. But I absolutely understand why people see it as patriotic.
Sure, I do too. Well, this is very helpful. Is there anything that we missed in this discussion?
No, I think you've covered everything. I mean, I also did want to point out that I think Coors was also on the in the top 50 list, and I just think that, you know, if you look at the heritage and the imagery that they have used for years, you can have a sense again of why people turn around and go, sure.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. If Anheuser-Busch wanted to get a hold of you and get more information, they could find you where? On brandkeys.com?
Yes, indeed. They could.
And they could, of course, call you up also.
Right.
I'm not going to ask you to give your phone number.
We just use phone calls more often than email now. But yeah, we're online. We've been around forever.
They could find you.
And we would be more than willing to sit down with them and talk. I happen to believe that, you know, it is a company and a brand that is desperately in need of direction. That, again, the entertainment and the ad weight is not going to do it for them, you know, in this current environment with the way that people engage with brands.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have
Good.
A call.
So let's hope that they'll hear this and that they'll give you a buzz and you'll have an opportunity to pick up another client.
Well, there you go. Always looking for another client.
Well,
and listen, thank you very much.
It's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you for your time and your insights. And I'll tell you, I've been following your work for, you know, not 35 years, but probably 30. And I'm always impressed with the insights that you have about these various brands. And I think you make a real contribution to the marketing industry by doing this. So, you know, I'm sure they appreciate
that.
It.
Thank you.
Okay,
and
good luck.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Robert.
And,
thank you.
Happy 4th of July.
Same to you. And watch the PBS special on from the National Mall down here in Washington, D.C. It's always a good show.
I will indeed. Again,
okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.